Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is ready to be praised. Celebrate the presence of the Lord, for He is ready to be praised. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord.
Cheer. Lord Jesus, we come before you again today, Lord. We ask that you teach us to be humble, Lord, to listen to your words, to receive the messages that you have for us, that we may do your will, that way we may do the works that you have for us to do. Let us clear our minds, Lord, of all the things that try to steal us away each and every day. And open up our minds, Lord, to your word and to what you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There's a rod like a God. No other name. Salvation that cannot be moved, proven himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. There is no rock. There is no God like ours. There's no rock. There's no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The salvation that cannot be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God. the angels. Jesus is around, not in the ages. Jesus is around.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Is everybody awake? Well, wake up. I was thinking about it this morning. The things that I want to attain is to walk as the Lord would have me walk. To do the things He would have me to do, whether I want to do them or not. But am I awake? Am I listening? do I hear when he has a message for me? I wish I could say yes, always. The truth of the fact is, I get in my way. We all have a tendency to get in our own way by whatever means which stops us or slows us down in our walk. To walk as Jesus walked, to do the job that he has for us to do, that each and every one of us are called to do, which is to deliver the gospel to all the world. To love our neighbors as ourself. To show brotherly love, not only to those around us, but to the world. So that they may see by our actions. That they may see by the things we do and by the things we say. That doesn't mean that we say things to somebody so that we can please them. Although sometimes it does happen to work out that way. Most of the time, we need to say the tough things. We need to give the tough love message. We need to tell them the truth so that they have a chance to move forward and walk. So many times I wish I could say I do that just right. But there's a truth and a reality. I can live in the little dream world if I want to and say, yes, I do that. I'm lying to myself. And the truth is not in me when I do that. The truth is, as long as I'm in this flesh, there are going to be times that unless I completely fight against the things that would pull me aside, the things that would have me not do what the Lord has for me to do, at those times, we all have a tendency to fall back. And it's a struggle. And it's a fight. The words are easy. Sometimes the actions are not as easy. But it is a war. It is a war we fight within ourselves, within this flesh, that we have to win and be victorious. And with the help of Jesus Christ, we can overcome to do his work, to do his will, to spread the gospel to the world. That's our job. That's our work. That is the work that Jesus Christ has assigned us to do, each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you're 10. It doesn't matter if you're 90. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, then you've accepted the work that he has for you to do. If you call yourself a Christian, that is your job. That is your profession. Doesn't matter what the Lord has you doing on the side to make money so that you can survive, live, support your family, whatever. But your profession is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to walk on this earth as he walked, to do what he has for you to do. Nothing else. It's interesting that my whole family basically was gone because it allowed me the chance to be able to look
for Jesus Christ in a method and in a way that I wish I would have started looking for him 20 years earlier instead of fighting against him every time a trickle of a message would come in. Jesus Christ, 99% of the time, is first and foremost in my life. One day I hope that it'll be 100%. That is my hope. That is my prayer. That is what I have to fight against in this flesh to make it a reality. It is possible. And what a great and glorious thing to stand before him in that day of judgment and for him to say, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." That's what we all want to hear. That's what we all are desperate to hear in that day. But because you do one thing, don't think you've achieved that point. It's not because of what ministry you belong to. It's not because what church building you go into. It is not because you read this word, that word, or the other word. It is believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. It is doing his will, walking on this earth as he walked, and carrying out the job that Jesus Christ laid out in his word that each and every one of us are responsible to do. So wake up. Wake up to the truth. Follow the light. Amen.
Prepare me to be a shield round about me, a living sanctuary. I suspect, I know for me, having a shield round about me, that sounds great. You know, Scott in a bubble, protected, safe. The sanctuary, sacrifice, that's not as exciting as the bubble shield, is it? But they go hand in hand. Because unless you're willing to sacrifice yourself, unless you're willing to lay down your life, you're not going to find yourself in Christ Jesus. That's where that shield is. It was the Hour of Truth early. I think it was a rerun, but I only caught like the first 5 minutes of it. And one of the things that they were, you know, kicking around was this sort of statement that gets thrown around about, oh, if I ever walked into a church, I'd burst into flames. I'm so bad, or I'm, you know, such a sinner. And people joke about that and laugh about it. But what they don't realize is that the enemy that's out there, Satan, the devil, he throws these fiery darts and he wraps you up into burdens and he deceives you. He steals from you. He devours you to the point where you're so burdened and laden. You can't do anything. Now see, when he's attacking you like that, you're already on fire. You ever seen one of these cowboy and Indian movies or other movies where they have the fiery arrows and the carriage is going by and then the arrows hit the carriage. The carriage is on fire. They're still running, trying to get away. They may or may not realize that they're already burning up. But see, that shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. It puts them out. That's that shield that's round about you. That's the place where I want to be. Now, when you come to church, by church, I mean the body of Christ. When you come to a meeting and find other believers there, they might show you things. They might say something. The Lord will work through them to let you know, yo, you're on fire. Here's how to put it out. Sometimes our flesh lies to us. And, well, always is what I hear from Sue. True. What I'm getting at is, you see, if you had like a jug, a canister of some sort of water, one was hot and one was cold, and you close your eyes and you put your hand in, you know, one jug and then pull it out and then put it in the other jug and then pull it out and put it in the other jug, it gets to a point where you can't really discern which one's hot and which one's cold. Your flesh will lie to you. Those are those feelings and things. You don't realize sometimes when you are on fire and you're burning that quenching, that putting out of the fire, it feels like it hurts because you're so used to the other. It seems wrong to your flesh. You have to move past that. We have to get to a point where we can cast all our cares, cast all of our burdens on Him, for He careth for us. Get rid of all that stuff that's holding you back, that's keeping you separated. Find that place, that quiet, still place where you can hear His voice. Seek Him, and you will find Him.
Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Lord. Good morning to those that are here, those that are listening on the internet, and those that are listening on the Fisherman Ministry website. I was in prayer. And, you know, every now and then I ask the Lord some of the dumbest things. I'm sure none of you have that problem. And one of the dumb things I ask the Lord is, God, what in the world were you thinking of when you chose me? I gotta be the biggest mess up you ever chose. I mean, I made Paul look good before you found him. And, yeah, I know nobody else has that problem. But I've asked him many times. Maybe Bob has, I'm not sure. But this is what came to me. And I've read it hundreds of times. But somehow or another, never applied it the way I believe God would have me to apply it. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I'm in chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse 23. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Greeks here represent the intelligentsia, the smart dudes, the college folk, the ones with good educations. Because right before that, you see, the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. Okay, we'll go back to 24 now. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You're sitting in here right now. Which one are you? Or which combination are you? I hear just about every one of them. Foolish. Weak. Base. Yeah, I hear about every one of them. If you're a believer in Christ whom God hath called, you're going to fall in one or more of these categories. If you're sitting in a church and you don't think any of this applies to you, you might want to reevaluate your position with the Lord. It may not be what you think it is. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, God calls us to be in Christ because Christ is made to be for us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. It's not something we do. It's not something we are even capable of doing. God made Christ to be these things for us, that when we be in him, we can rest in those things. Go back to Hebrews 4. And when you rest in Christ, you seek from your works, just as God rested from his. So you, what happens is, when you become a believer, before you become a believer, you spend your life trying to fit into something, or trying to meet some mark, or trying to show yourself to be worth something. But once you come to Christ, one of the ways you come to Christ is you realize you can't be anything like that. You really can't do it. I feel sorry for those who seem to have achieved that stuff, because they'll never see the other. But when you come to that place where you realize you can't achieve it, it's not there, it's not in you, you're incapable of it, then you're in a place where God can give you Jesus. And Jesus has made these things to be for you, that you can rest in them. And that is why it says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Anything I do good, I gotta blame the Lord. Anything I do evil, it's all on me. Anything I do stupid, it's on me. Or Bob, it's his fault. Or my wife's fault. Anybody relate to that? It's always somebody's fault, right? It's not God's fault. And that's how Paul could go down in chapter 2 and say, and I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, who was an educated man, wise in the law and the knowledge of the world in, through the Jews and the Greeks. He had it both ways. And yet counted it all dung when he came to know the Lord. If you know Jesus, then you know it all. It's the only thing you need to know is Jesus. And him crucified, raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead as a promise to us that he will raise us up from the dead also. Not only did he die for our sins, he was raised up for our faith and for our life, that we may live in him by his faith. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, if you can come to that place where you recognize yourself as one of those things that Paul was talking about, foolish, weak, base, whatever. And you can throw your hope on Christ and believe what he says. Then you too can demonstrate the word and gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of God. As long as you're depending on yourself and your goodness, in your greatness, you cannot do it. But when you know you're not good, and he is, then it's a simple thing. Amen? Now, I took a little bit of Steve's time. I'm sure he's not going to mind. And I don't believe there's another service on after us today. So, if the Lord wants to carry it a little longer, I'm not going to turn it off. People listening can turn it off, but I won't. Amen. Amen. Unless Steve gets boring, I'll just tell him, shut up. God bless him. All right, play some music. I'm done.
Hey, tonight, you can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. So I go harder. dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, I can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again.
Lord, a cheer. Praise God.
You know, it's funny that Brother Richard would preach on 1 Corinthians there and kind of go through that, because I remember, you know, years ago, I used to have conversations periodically with his son. Closer. Okay. I had conversations with his son. And it was humorous, because one of the things his son struggled with back there for years is the fact that what an utter offense his father was. And I used to tell him, I said, well, that's what he has to be. And he struggled and struggled and struggled to wrap himself around it, that that was the case. But of course, if it's going to be about the gospel, you see what I'm saying? If it's going to be about the gospel, then it can't be about us. Anything about us. Absolutely nothing about us. See, we struggle with that. It's against everything in our flesh that that would be the case. So he reaches down and he picks out a guy like Richard Utzler, who's an offense to every, I mean, when it talks about the Jews, he didn't say that, but the Jews are the religious folks. I have this small inkling, Davey, that you are an offense to religious folks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever run into anybody in my entire life, and I've been around a pretty lot of people, who has ever come close to being as much of an offense to religious folks as our brother Davey. But not only that.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. But not only that, he is equally an offense to the educated folks. Both fronts. He's got them both down. And in so doing, he was God's perfect choice for us. Doesn't matter what our background is. Doesn't matter what prejudices we may have had along those lines. Because we all had prejudices in those ways, right? We would esteem one or another. And the fact of the matter is it was all vanity. All vanity. None of it was worth anything. If you get it, most of our struggle, that's what it's about, is the reality that the stuff we believed, the stuff we put our faith in, the stuff we thought was good is worthless and of no consequence and does not matter at all. That's a reality we struggle with at times. And I was thinking You know, Brother Davey was quoting back out of Hebrews 4 or referring back to Hebrews 4 about how we enter into God's rest. We've ceased from our own works. But, you know, there is one work that God gives us to stand in. Do you know what that is? There's one work he tells us to do. It's one labor. There's one point of labor that we have. And that is we have to labor against unbelief. See, I think of a Scott who was talking today about kind of the deceitfulness of sin and how our flesh lies to us. He said sometimes, I said always. In the sense of things being valuable. I mean, look, the donuts Megan made today, my flesh told me were good and I kept eating them. Praise God. They were yummy. But they're not good in, you know, in any godly sense. I mean, they're good at putting more Dunlop on my tire here, but not a lot else. But that element of laboring against the unbelief, because what happens is we're being pulled away constantly by our own lusts. Those things that we formerly valued, our wrong judgments of situations that we hang on to. It was funny, I was listening to Cheryl the other day. We were talking about how we have to just sing in a key she can sing in. And she was talking about how she had struggled with Uncle Ricky. I mean, not Uncle Ricky. That's my children's Uncle Ricky. Her brother Ricky. Because Ricky would just sing whatever key he was going to sing in, and she had to keep up. And her father said, she was angry about it, right? I mean, she was angry. She was still angry about it. But the fact of the matter is, what did her father say? That's what made you as good as you are now. See, a lot of things that we don't like, right, Mel? A lot of things we don't like are actually good for us. There are a lot of things we don't like that are actually very good for us. And what happens is we get our lusts pull us aside in such things. And we have to labor against that deceitfulness of sin and choose to believe God's word. Because usually what's happening in these situations is somebody, like Brother Davey said to his daughter, you know, that's what made you as good as you are now. Well, the truth of the matter is, Cheryl didn't like that answer, right, Cheryl? I know, she's still, see, I'm telling you, she didn't like that answer. Has to labor against the unbelief in the truth of that answer. When the other justifies my attitude, right? The attitude and ought I have against my brother. It's funny, I thought there was something about, like, before you come and make a sacrifice or anything and you have ought with your brother, you go leave your sacrifice and go make good with your brother. Right? Gosh, I'm just trying to imagine how many moments or maybe hours or days or weeks or years that's ought's there. You follow what I'm saying? And think of it, that ought was there, and what does it do? Who suffers? I can tell you, Ricky is blissfully ignorant of any anger that way that Cheryl has that way, relating to what he did with her in the music. But Cheryl's not blissfully ignorant of it, right? And that's how we are. That's how we are. And we suffer, but we will hold on to that. We will not let it go. Why? Because it justifies us. Justifies us in our judgment. And see, we have to therefore labor. We don't like the truth a lot of times. We don't like the truth because the truth doesn't testify well of us. It doesn't testify well of us. But we have to come to prefer the truth about everything about us. Else, you can't get to the place that Brother Davey was talking about where Paul said, where you're satisfied knowing nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and letting Him be wisdom and power and everything to you, where you are none of those things yourself, that your glorying may be in the Lord and not in yourself. See, we have to get shed of these things. And you get shed of those things when you trust, when you choose to trust and believe God. Turn to Philippians 3. Paul was reading on this, and I want to Let's finish with this here this morning. Kind of following through on this concept of the religious people, because, see, what generally happens to us as we become Christians is we begin, we realize we're not religious. I was not religious. I don't know about you. I was not religious. When I received Christ, I got religion. I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't get religion, I got Christ. But then something happened. This was not of Christ, but something happened, which was I got religion. See, we Christians, we often get religion. And we don't realize in the getting, we're losing Christ. Paul hits on this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. This is verse 1. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That's those Jews that Paul was talking about over there in 1 Corinthians. The one who the gospel is a stumbling block to. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You see that? It has nothing to do with your flesh, folks. You can dance around in church, you can do all of those things. Doesn't mean you're fulfilling this. Doesn't mean you're not either, mind you. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to say you can't do those things. But it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no, that's not K-N-O-W, that's N-O, no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. On a scale of a 0 to 100, that's a 0. Not a 1, not a 10, not in anything. A 0 confidence in the flesh. Now, for some of us, that can be particularly hard because we felt like we were successful in the flesh. For some, it's easier because they always felt like they failed. The biggest problem, either way you go, and this happens, Brother David was talking about, you know, preaching Christ Jesus and Him crucified. What happens is if you think you're something, Christ isn't going to honor because He'll kill you. You know why it'll kill you? Because to honor it will be to lift you up in pride. You'll only think you're doubly something. But if you think you're so worthless that you can't do anything, you know what? God can't honor that either. Because what are you looking at? Your flesh, not Him. Right? Your confidence is misplaced. So he goes, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he trust might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's about ready to go into the anti-religion tirade. Well, it's really not a tirade, just laying it out pretty clear. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. All of us are beat. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. All of us are beaten. As touching the law, a Pharisee, all of us are beaten. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. This is the one that always bothered me when he said that. Because here he is talking to Christians, right? He's talking to Christians and he's talking about it concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And this used to bother me. Why in the hell is he saying that? I mean, because if I'm a Christian listening to this, I'm thinking, well, I didn't persecute the church. I don't persecute the church. I'm not like that. You know what I mean? And it, therefore, in a sense, you could almost say it gives place to those who are religious. But the fact of the matter is, no, he has it there for the exact opposite reason. See, the religious always will persecute the church. They'll always persecute those who are saved by grace. They'll be offended at the fact that God is with that person who he most definitely shouldn't be with, because look, they don't check any of the right boxes. They got every single one of them wrong. Is that not what happens in the church all the time? Is that not what happens in your own heart? Think of it for a moment. How often does somebody, and since Brother Davey seems to be better at this than the rest of us, I'll just use him as an example. How many times does he say something to you that just pisses you off? And you know for an absolute certainty that he is wrong, does not understand, this does not apply to me, does not he get, I got this, that, and the other thing. Anybody ever had that experience besides me? Just me. Okay, just me. All right, forget all that. Oh, Johnny's waving his hand. Praise God, Johnny. Thank you. I got one amen. I got one amen over there. But do you see what you don't realize? You see, that is that persecuting the church in your heart. Is that how you want to be? See, that's that persecuting the church in your heart because you're offended. And usually what happens with that, after you get done with, you deal with all your own justifications, is you also deal with all of his issues. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he becomes a monster of issues. He's got every single one you could imagine. And you know why he's got all these issues? It's because they justify you. Right? I mean, you don't have to listen to somebody with that many issues now, do you? Right? That never comes up with anybody around here, right? See, but that's, he's bringing it up so that you can see it in your own heart. Because when you start turning to religion, when you start turning to the things that you do as what justify you, what happens is you then, just like Cain, just like the Pharisees in Jesus' time, just like those who destroyed the prophets, just like those through all time who've come against those that are his, you're doing the same thing. And you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. So he says, concerning zeal persecuting the church. In other words, he was more zealous than you are. You're too chicken to do that kind of stuff. You'll just quietly keep it to yourself and leave or go elsewhere or do these different types of things and suffer quietly because nobody will understand if you say anything anyways.
And or murmur behind my back.
There you go. Or murmur behind his back. So concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Oh my God, this is where all of us fall on our swords, all right? Because, I mean, give me a break. Touching the righteousness which is, what does it say, which is in the law, blameless? Well, none of us, I mean, I don't even want to begin to think of that one. No matter how religious and no matter how righteous I may have thought I could possibly be for all the different things, when I compare myself to Brother Paul, it all goes away. What's he say? But what things were gained to me? You know why they were gained to him? And this is a big one you got to look out for. They were gained to him because they are what made him acceptable. They were what made him exalted. They were what gave him position. See, in the world, when it's talking about the Jews and the Greeks, those are the people who are accepted, right? I mean, remember what an offense Ronald Reagan was? Because he'd gone to like some podunk college in the Midwest or something like that and was stupid and uneducated and all these things. I mean, literally, I happen to have been a liberal, kind of a radical liberal back then. It was very depressing to me when he got elected president. I remember there was like weeping and gnashing of teeth on the Cornell campus. Like, oh my God, the world's coming to an end. Ronald Reagan has been elected. Best thing that happened to the nation in the last 50 years was his election. But the fact of the matter is that, see, those people that we have looked up to, those things that have looked up to in the world, when you come to Christ, look, you can have compassion on those people. Don't get me wrong, and realize the danger they are in. Praise God. That compassion towards those people can enable you to do what Bob was talking about, which is minister the gospel to them. Because you realize they're in a bad place. But don't listen to them or give them heed. You follow what I'm saying? Don't listen to them or give them heed. That's to your destruction. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Watch that. He counted them for loss. He made a decision, a deliberate decision to count those things loss, even though everybody around him, including the people he went to minister to, looked at those as things that exalted him. He chose to count them as nothing. And he never turned from that. But I want to finish up here in 8 and 9 because it gets to that place of what we've been talking about last week and hoping in since this past minister's convention. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, Paul lost everything. And that's why Paul, the Lord worked so mightily in Paul, is because he didn't regret any of it. He was grateful that he might win Christ, that he may go forth. See, when we get off, Bob, you know, you're talking about going on to the world and preach the gospel. Where we get off, where we don't hear, is we are doing our own thing. That's what the problem is. We're in situations and we're busy thinking about our stuff rather than Christ's stuff. We're busy thinking about our stuff rather than looking at the people who were there before us. We don't even notice them. And be found in him, and this is where I wanted to get to, and be found in him, that is Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Not my faith. See that? Just like we read in Galatians 2:16 last week. Through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. It is a free gift that is given unto us that we cannot earn. And if we do anything to try to earn it, what we do is we take off that cloak that he has covered us with because we're too busy trying to put on another of our own making. So let's go forward in that faith of Christ. Let's go forward esteeming him above all else. Amen.
Trust you alone. I'll give you all my worship.
the Lord.
Thank you. To you the blind will see. To you the mute will sing. To you the dead will rise. To you our hearts will praise. To you the darkness flees. To you my heart screams. I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free.
I am free. And I'm free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
Grace that
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Lord. We'll close it out here in prayer. Father, we thank you for setting us free. And Father, we just pray, Lord, in your grace that you'll help each of us as we set out this day to leave those things behind, those chains behind, and to go forward in that freedom that you have called us into. And we just pray, may your grace be mightily with each of us in that endeavor. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.